Yeah, too bad you couldn't have got much cooler across the street.
We're going to see her this afternoon.
I know, that's what she said.
Yeah.
This is Shirley Bradley and Lisa Fine. We're at the home of Mabel McQueen. And this is June... What's the date today?
16.
June 16, 1992. And we're going to be talking about real memories.
Okay. This is just a biographical information form so that we get some background about you. Some biographical information about... where you grew up and where you were born, and things that give us some context for your work life at Rio. So, were you born in the Lansing area?
Mm-hmm.
In Okemos. When it was still farms, right? Yeah.
Long time ago.
is that what your parents did? Were they farmers there? Did they farm or?
My dad worked at the college.
Oh, he worked at MSU. Oh.
Worked there then, and then in Lenny went to farming in the Lansing area, and then he went back to work at the college and was a ground student. Worked there for many years.
And your mom was at home? Did she help at home?
She was housewife.
Did you have, which was a very big job in and of itself.
Yeah, back then.
Right. Did you have a lot of brothers and sisters?
I had two brothers and one sister.
Okay. Did you go to school in Okemos?
No, we moved away from there before I started school. I went to school, when I started school was at Rushbrook School. Out
of Delta. Oh, I'm not familiar with that school, are you?
Oh, out in the Delta Mills area.
What was the name of the school?
Horsebrook.
Horsebrook? And
it was right at the end of Delta River Drive there in...
Clinton or and something?
No, this was Delta River Drive in Grand River.
Oh, okay.
We lived on Delta River Drive.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
see, the school now is on the north side of Grand River, and it used to be when I started school there. Of course, it was one room school, and it was on the
south side. Oh, okay.
Just east of Delta River.
Okay. Oh, I know where it is. Where Delta, if you're going down Grand River. Delta River Drive angles off like that, and it would be on the Grand River just before you angle off on the Delta River. Yeah, the building, there's still a...
there's anything there where the school was.
Where the original school was. Yeah.
But see, they built the school across the street later.
And I think that building is still standing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I'd forgotten about that school.
How come your parents moved from Okemos out here to that area?
Well, I guess farm.
Oh, they were farming there too?
Dad farmed.
Okay. So he got a better opportunity there. And did you go to high school there too?
No, I went to high school in Lansing at Eastern.
Oh, okay.
Walter French and Eastern. See, after we left there, we moved over on Miller Road.
Okay.
And I went to school at Myth Grove.
Okay.
There in Logan.
They weren't farming there then?
Yes.
They were still?
Wow.
Used to be all country around Lansing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's all subdivisions now.
Yeah, it's all.
Oh, I see.
There on Miller Road, it's all townhouses now. We're on the farm we had.
So, your parents could farm and you could still go to a city school?
Well, it was a city school. Well, we went to city school, yeah. But of course, we had to pay tuition.
Oh, so you must have had to go quite a ways to come in every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from Miller. You know where Miller Road is?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know Jolly Road that you...
Yes.
It's just south of me. Miller's, again, another mile south of that.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, so that was quite a commute in. You drove in to school, or you had got driven in to school?
Got a ride. You know, there was several of us, and parents would, you know, arrange to get it there. And then part of the time, I worked for my boarding room to go to school. I went to Eastern. lot, quite a few rooms. Mm-hmm.
And you stayed downtown?
Mm-hmm.
All by yourself?
No.
In a family,
in a
with
home,
family?
Uh-huh, yeah, because I did, you know, do that, help take care of children, or wash dishes, or, you know, help with the housework. If the mother needed extra help, a lot of times they'd take some of the students in.
And
mm-hmm.
And that way you could get
during
a
during the week, and then we'd go home on Friday night and come back Sunday.
Hmm. Did you miss your parents when you do that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a way to go to school.
To get a better education.
And that's what everybody was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Too, so
yeah.
Uh-huh. That out of the ordinary.
Everybody that could, you know. Of course, there was a lot of them couldn't pay that tuition that they had to pay.
Yeah.
And it was hard, you know, because the primers didn't make a lot of money. But anyway, it made it.
Did you go work at the Rio after high school, or were there some other things that went on in between?
Oh, yeah, a lot of things went on in between.
Okay.
I worked for the state for a while. And I didn't go to work to Rio until 1953.
Okay. When you worked at the state, what did you do for the state? Was it
typing
mm-hmm. secretarial?
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn the typing and
steno
in school, in
mm-hmm.
high school?
Yeah, I took bookkeeping.
Bookkeeping?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a pretty good course?
Mm-hmm.
They offered it in the Lansing schools for that.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2 years or four?
Well, it was 3 years in high school and 1 year in
business.
Junior high. No, I did know my business.
In high school, you were
see, I went to Maple Grove through the 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to go into town for the 9th and
10th and 12th, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got all that training that you needed through there.
Yeah, well, that's what was
great. Because a lot of schools didn't have, you
mm-hmm.
know, a lot of those kinds of courses.
Oh, yeah,
So you worked for the state, and then
I worked at Motor Wheel for a while during the war.
Uh-huh.
I worked on inspection there.
Okay, so that wasn't a clerical.
No, uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Were those wheels for the Army trucks there that you were inspecting?
And no, shells.
Oh, my.
Shells.
I worked on the shell
line. Well, they did the same as Oldsmobile did then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Produce shells. Oh, I didn't know that.
There for a short period.
Did you switch because of the money? Or because of the war? Or
the war. Well, of course, I had quit. Got married and had a youngster, and, you know. And then we moved to Florida. We were in Florida 4 years.
Oh.
And then we came back to Michigan, and then I finally decided I wanted new furniture, new stuff. So, because Rio was hiring then, and so I thought, they'd had ads in for typists and all that. And of course, it'd been a few years since I'd done any of it, but. Anyway, I applied and I got in.
In 53.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when you started at Rio in 53, you just had the one child, or
mm-hmm.
was already
mm-hmm.
school age?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was teacher school age. He wasn't middle through school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was
school age.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to school.
Oh,
age.
Yeah.
And when you came back, did you buy a house in Lansing?
Mm-hmm.
And what neighborhood did you live in Lansing?
At that time, we lived on the east side.
Okay.
Then we moved over on the west side.
Okay. Did your husband work at Rio too?
No, he worked at Olds.
Oh, he was at Olds?
And then he was a contractor.
Oh, okay, then he went into business for himself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
After the war.
Mm-hmm. John Bowles' wife worked at Oldsmobile. He worked at Rio.
They were saying it was a good thing because when Rio closed, at least there was still somebody who had
mm-hmm.
a job
yeah.
for a while so he could get his feet under him again.
Yeah.
My father-in-law worked at Rio.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
How long did he work there?
Oh, gosh.
Long, long time?
Yeah, he was there long.
He was one of the old-timers.
Mm-hmm.
Did he work in the plant?
Mm-hmm. My son-in-law worked at Rio.
Oh.
He lives down the street there a little way. So we got it, and I had a lot of people. I had a cousin that worked there. In fact, I had two cousins that worked there.
Which department did you work in when you went in as a secretary?
I was a secretary.
Oh,
I went in the billing department. I was typist. When I hired in as typist.
Typist in the billing department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what did that, what did the building department do? I don't think we've heard about the building department before.
Oh,
we really haven't. The building department.
Billing.
Billing.
Oh, billing.
Billing. Billing.
Sorry.
Oh. Sorry.
Billing department. I think we've heard of that.
Yeah. But I saw it. That's strange.
Okay. So you were just a typist?
Yeah, just, uh-huh.
Did they have like a pool? You were just one person with a...
Well, there were several of us in the department that did the typing, invoicing.
Mm-hmm. And did you have a woman supervisor over you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Do you remember who that was?
When I hired in, it was Bill Luoma.
Bill?
Luoma, L-U-O-M-A.
He was the supervisor of the billing?
Mm-hmm.
Department.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you at Rio from 1953 till it closed?
Well, I retired in February 28th, 1975.
Oh.
Just before the end, huh?
Uh-huh.
And where did you... You didn't obviously didn't stay as typist in the billing department
the
whole
no,
time.
No, I was... let's see, I was a bookkeeper. Went into bookkeeping.
Uh-huh.
And then I was transferred into export.
Oh. We knew somebody there.
Yeah. Was it Art Fromm?
Yeah.
Expert?
No.
Export?
No, Art Fromm wasn't in export.
I'm trying to think who we interviewed that worked in for export.
Chuck Dunford?
No.
Export.
Go back away to me. Maybe I can find it.
Let me see. See, the ones that I worked for in there, they're all gone now. Irene LaRoe. She's been gone for a few years. And Marsh Mullet, and he's gone. Chuck Dunford's the only one I think alive that worked in export when I was there. I worked in the truck department, and they were the parts, export parts, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think. Ed Rankin.
That's who it was. Ed Rankin.
Yeah, he was
just getting back here.
Yeah, he was in export parts.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, here it is right here.
A few months ago. I knew we talked to somebody in export. So you were in charge of keeping track of the billings and the bookkeeping of the department.
Yeah, the documents and all that type of thing.
Okay. And that's what you...
Then I was transferred back to payables. Called payables.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I worked when I... Let's see, was I working in payables or... I was in receivables when I retired. They'd get short of help and they'd, lay somebody off and then they'd transfer you around or you could, of course when the union came in, when a job came up, you could, but I was I was bookkeeper when at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
When the union came in, I still was bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm. When did the union come in? The UAW union,
yeah,
right?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Towards the end of when you were there, or closer to when you first started?
It was closer to the end.
Towards the end, in the 60s sometime?
Probably.
Okay.
I can't remember when. Late 60s.
Okay.
Early 70s. I really don't know. I remember it was a mistake anyway when they put the bill or the union in the office. Of course they had it in the
plant.
But in the office, right?
How did it change things? You say it was a mistake?
Well, there was a lot of bickering and I'm not going to do that because it's not my job. You think this thing going?
That's all right.
You all will turn it off.
No, but you know how it is. When, and before, if one person got behind a little bit and needed some help, whoever had a little time, you would just automatically help.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the union came in, especially the newer employees, they didn't.
They didn't have that same philosophy.
It's not my job, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll sit here and just do nothing.
Hmm. Do you think that most people wanted the union to be there?
I don't think so.
No.
Not the office.
Not within the office group.
Mm-hmm.
staff. Yeah. But it just was something that had to...
Yeah, there was enough that wanted it, so it carried.
Yeah. Oh, there was a representation election. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you got more protection for your job or your job security? Given the fact that I know Rio was kind of on shaky ground, but do you think the Rio gave you a little more job security or...
With the union in?
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Not myself.
Hmm.
I know there were some that it helped, but to me it didn't.
That's usually the reason people want a union, they say.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, they're, you know, and like they say, they don't want to, you know, they want to do just what they're going to do, and they don't want to do any more.
Mm-hmm. So actually that would hinder production in a way,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What you could produce out of your departments.
Hmm. To some of us, you know, that have been there several years, and I don't know, we all kind of work together to help one another. If,
mm-hmm.
you know, if the workload got heavy or if somebody was off the L or something, well, you know, you just pitched in and helped. And thought nothing of it. You know, you didn't say, well, you're getting paid for that, you do it.
Mm-hmm. And you think the people who had this attitude of it's not my job description, so I'm not going to do it, was more the younger people coming
mm-hmm.
in. They're the ones that seem to
have
that more feeling.
Uh-huh.
To
mm-hmm.
Women, mostly, because it was the office staff.
Yeah,
right?
There was,
it was mostly
well,
young
yeah.
women.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was fellows too.
There were some
mm-hmm. men. But of course, naturally, there were more women working in the office.
Yeah. And they just didn't have the same...
Not the same feeling.
Feeling about the company.
No, we were all, you know, all friends, and just, you know, just wanted to help one another.
Mm-hmm. You said that you hired in 53 because you saw lots of ads, because the real one.
Well, they
people.
Were ad in for typists.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of looking for work, because, you know, I mean, we'd just come home from Florida and trying to make, you know, get settled in again. And work because I wanted some new furniture. And I was only going to work for a year.
And you ended up working for 20.
22.
Of course, you liked where you were. And
pardon?
I say you liked where you were.
Oh, yes.
And
I,
people
I,
you worked
oh,
with.
Yeah, I love my job.
And
really
the money
really.
Must have been
yeah,
satisfactory.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Did you pick the Rio specifically to work in? I mean, did you say, if I could, I'd like to work
no,
here?
No,
you didn't.
No.
It just happened to be... advertising, so you mm-hmm. went in there. Do you think it was different, you had a different experience because you ended up at the Rio at all? And then let's say if you had hired on at Oldsmobile or some other company.
Well,
now,
of course I don't know because I didn't...
You didn't work there.
There,
yeah.
But I was happy at Rio. I was happy in my work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had good supervisors.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
We hear so much about the family atmosphere at Rio, and
mm-hmm.
obviously it was in the offices too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, and a lot of us are all just friends. I mean, we meet once a month, you know, and have lunch and
mm-hmm.
get together in between sometimes. And
mm-hmm. Did you and Marjorie Kohler work it out so that you live across the street from each other, or was it just a coincidence?
Well, she kind of see. I've been here 15 years.
Oh, okay.
15 years. Last week. well, she'd been out here different times, different ones as a girl. See, there was quite a few that lived in the park off
uh-huh.
and on
uh-huh.
from Rio.
Oh.
Even before I moved over here, because when I sold the house, I lived on St. Joe, right in Gettysburg Estates. I don't know
uh-huh.
if you're familiar.
Mm-hmm. I know where that is.
And so anyway, I was, when I moved from the house, I had to do something. Of course, my husband passed away in 68, very suddenly.
Oh.
And I lived there until 77.
Mm-hmm. So right after you retired, you...
Well, shortly.
Yeah.
It just was, you know, I had such a great big lawn and a big home, and it just was too much to
mm-hmm.
keep up and everything. And at that time, I wasn't old enough to get all the benefits from taxes and all that. And anyway, this lady that lives over here, we were friends for many, many years. And that's what got me over here.
Okay. And so some of the other ladies.
And then Marge, she had her house, and she'd been wanting to get away from downtown there, because, you know, there's a lot of problems down there, and getting worse, I guess.
Yeah.
And so she'd been out here looking different times. And then one of my neighbors that lives across the street, or lived across the street at that time, was over. And we were talking. Well, she'd made a deposit, not deposit, but an agreement to the second one over here to buy. And I was telling my neighbor one morning when she's over here for coffee and talking about it, and she said, well, she said they're going to put theirs up for sale too. She went home, she was telling her husband about Marge, you know, about my friend. And he said, well, why didn't you tell her this was for sale?
Oh.
Because they wanted to move to Florida.
Okay.
And he says, well, she says, I told him, he says, well, I didn't think you wanted to go till for a year yet.
Mm.
And so he, yeah. Anyway, he says, well, you tell her. He says, oh, she's interested. Well, so I thought, well, gee, I don't know. I had, because these friends, these people over here were friends of mine, too, and I didn't want to.
Kind of in the middle.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I told her, and so she says, oh, she says, I've looked so much. She says, I'm satisfied. I don't think I'll look. I don't know, we talked a little bit, not about the home or anything. Finally, she says, well, maybe I'll come out and look at it. So I said, well, it's up to you. Well, she went into it, and she fell in love with it.
Oh, great.
So anyway, she went down. She hated to go down and tell these other people, but they understood.
Oh, that was nice.
So, now anyway, those people just out of the clear blue sold theirs. And they were nice neighbors too. I enjoyed it. But Marge and I have enjoyed one another. We go together all the time.
Yeah, it's nice to have somebody close by like that. I guess I'm interested in sort of your, you know, the family kind of thing that we've talked about, I guess why you stayed, when you were only intending to stay a year, why you ended up staying 22 years,
well,
and what was good about the job, and what you thought about the company, and the other thing I'm really interested in is if you participated in the girls' club activities,
mm-hmm.
and what, or, you know, what kind of things they did, and...
good things.
Uh-huh.
Going. Yeah, I belonged to the girls' club.
Did that start right at the beginning? Did you participate in that right from the start when you first came in, or?
Not when I first came in, but shortly afterwards I joined.
Okay. That had been going on though.
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it was mostly office.
Mostly, uh-huh.
But
there was some from the factory.
Oh, were there really?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some that too.
Oh.
But it was mostly office.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of things did you all do when you met?
Talk.
What do we do, huh? Same kind of things you still do over
yeah.
at the Golden Gate, right? and just had a way to get together on a regular
yeah,
basis.
Yeah, really, that's what it was. And sometimes they had entertainment. Of course, they had mother and daughter banquets.
Oh, that's
and,
nice.
All the things that you...
Mm-hmm.
Is that where the Christmas baskets and things like that were assembled and that the girls' club helped?
Yes, uh-huh.
We talked with Hilda Smith, and she was so proud of being able to put the Christmas baskets together.
Mm-hmm. She is the sweetest lady.
She is, isn't she?
We always called her the sweetheart of Rio.
Oh, really?
The sweetheart of Rio, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been noticing you have, you should see this.
Oh, that's what I got when I retired.
The trucks.
Oh, my goodness.
Rio.
Was that something that they made there and you were able to get it, or?
I don't know. They had those plaques they got. They had.
For the record, we should say they're plaques of
there are
Rio
three plaques of a Rio Diamond Rio truck and
The 1904 maybe. Oh no, 1905 or 6.
Rio car. And there's another
and
speed wagon.
Like a delivery truck, a speed wagon. Oh, those are wonderful.
Yeah,
they really are very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, they always give you a gift when you retire.
Oh,
they always give you. And they were given these pen and pencil sets, you know, desk pen and pencil sets. And of course, I knew the first mailman, and when I retired or something, and I said, I know something was said about it. And I said, I don't want one of them pen pencil sets. I said, I want one of them, the set of those plaques. So nothing more was ever said.
He probably thought, boy, we got a live one here.
So when he came to brought my gift to me, of course, you know, we had our picture. In fact, I got nice pictures out there. I'll show you.
Okay, good.
He brought it to me. He said, well, maybe, he said, you said you didn't want one of those damn pen pencil sets.
Well, this would mean more to you, because this represents what?
I know. I don't know, pen and pencil. Where would I put it? You know, of course, I didn't.
In a drawer, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the ink dries up over time.
And everything. Why, you know, you don't really.
You can't really display it.
I had more pen and pencils anyway. I didn't need any more. And I did want those. And at the time, I had a big rec room in our basement. And I had ideal spot to display them there, over the fireplace.
And this is a big chunk of your life.
Mm-hmm.
These represent a big chunk of your life where you worked.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I know different people, of course, unless you get over here, you don't see them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I like them because, you know, I mean, it isn't something to hit you in the face when you come in. Because it's a little, well, not really commercial, but...
Mm-hmm. Oh, not at all.
I don't think so.
Anyway...
Are those made of metal?
I don't know.
I've just never seen any like them.
They are quite nice. I particularly like the one in the middle, the old-fashioned
one. Yeah, it looks like a six. It looks like one of the box.
And then my little nameplate in the year I retired is on a little thing. I don't know if you can see it. Maybe it's on this truck.
I see it. It's just down below it. Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. Just down below the
speed wagon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just love those.
They had a car.
Did I break it?
I don't think so. Nope, it's going like...
Oh, there you are.
Oh, it's that. And there you are holding your truck.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all, a lot of these gals are office gals that you worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And who are these two gentlemen here?
This is, he was my supervisor. Yeah, what the devil is his name? Isn't that awful? I forget. And this was, he was personnel director, Mike.
He looks like he might have been some of the new men that came in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had been there too. Yeah, this one was new. Uh-huh. He was head of credit.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
This is a book they put together for you? Or did you put this together
Well,
yourself?
Some of it they put together and some of it I did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which was it? I got a lot of interesting.
Well, there's Rio's Girls Club.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Did you ever see one of them?
No.
You just have to laugh at all that stuff.
Oh.
Real Girls Present. Was this a little play or something they did?
This is one of our later.
There's a Real Girls Club prayer that says, Oh God, grant me live my days with kindly thoughts, words, and deeds. May He help me meet my fellow men with patience and tolerance. And to do unto them as I would have done unto me. Then the pledge says, I pledge allegiance to my club and to agree to abide by the rules and regulations governing it. I promise to loyally and efficiently serve the club and to the best of my ability and actively encourage others to maintain our purpose of friendship and service.
Oh,
and this is from the Rio Girls Club 1960 handbook of Mabel McQueen.
And
here's all the different people in the club.
Hmm. And every member had a book.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had your own book.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
This book, here's your name printed on the cover.
I had to learn that when I went into the seventh grade, the first day in the seventh grade, I had to learn that. And I've always kind of made that my credo.
Hmm. And here they are. Just like a yearbook.
And
all the pictures. This is terrific. We've never seen one of these.
Oh, really?
No.
No.
believe there's some folks in here we've met.
Oh, I'm sure.
I bet there are.
Not yet.
Not yet, yeah, but I bet there are.
Oh, yeah, there's got to be so much.
I see some have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible to think about that happening.
I know it.
Oh, there's Marge.
Marge Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, there's several that you...
We met Ardith Pappin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have, and we're hoping to get to speak with her. She's a busy lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
There's Nate over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Oh, I like your hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those hairstyles.
Mm-hmm.
And these are kind of pictures, some
candid
fun with
shots,
us.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Everybody having fun and
mm-hmm.
getting together.
Oh, this is great.
For autographs. Oh, that is so nice.
Did these come out every year?
Mm-hmm.
Did these come out just
mm-hmm.
about every year? Because it says 1960.
We didn't have our pictures.
Every year, I see.
Oh.
So this is a special version of it.
Great.
The only thing I haven't got pictures of is the fire.
Oh, you know, I've got a chance to get some pictures of the fire. I've got a card that one.
Yeah.
All right, I was going to show you how Rio looked way back. These are all my returnees. Some of them are going to get kicked out of crazy stuff. Oh, dear.
Well, the firm didn't last much longer after you retired, did it?
No,
they... 75.
Yeah, that's right.
See, you've clipped out some headlines and articles about the Rio.
Yeah, so
who are these gentlemen?
That is Harry Elsenheimer. He's still alive. And this is Enno Schraft.
Oh, okay. I've seen the name a lot.
He's passed away.
He has.
Mm-hmm. Here I am with my little machine. One of them.
Oh.
There's another one.
The bookkeeping machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I run those.
Oh, you did?
Now that's
mm-hmm.
all on computers.
Yeah, this is the old kind, way back.
Was it hard to learn to run?
Well...
You didn't learn
when
that.
I got this was simple.
Mm.
You know, I mean, everything was, you know, more modernized, and that was, let's see, what did they call this one? I can't remember now. This was the old 78, it was Burroughs.
Hmm.
I wore around 77 and 78 bulls.
Oh. I've never seen a bookkeeping machine.
Haven't you?
No, and you probably didn't have those in the high school commercial classes,
uh-uh.
So this is something you had to learn after you went to Rio.
Oh, that's one of my grandbabies.
No.
That's a great poster. I like that.
What a sweet baby.
I don't know how it come got in here.
Oh, that's a good place for it.
Where my grand... Well, where is that picture that I... really wanted to show you.
Is that a real fire truck?
I don't know what that, if that is or not, or if that's... I can't read.
Thank
I can't
you.
Read to
Let me
read
see if
it.
I can, too. South Elgin and County Side Fire Protection District. Diamond Rio.
Is that?
Here, it's our Diamond Rio truck.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
That's what I
figured it probably had to be.
Yeah.
And this money was from a party
oh.
that they had when they had the foreign dealers over for some, like a convention deal or
mm-hmm.
dealers thing.
Hmm.
And then a bunch of us were out one night. And
has pictures of the
And the
truck.
Guys, some of the guys signed, they had a, like a Las Vegas night.
Oh,
oh this says Beirut.
The, mm-hmm. Yeah, one
Must
of the
Must be that man was from Beirut.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were different.
And these are the real trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have that upstairs in the clubhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of receptions
mm-hmm.
up in the clubhouse?
Mm-hmm. In the steering gear
room.
In
the steering gear
room.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure out what I did with it.
We're still curious about where the big steering gear chandelier went
oh,
when they tore the clubhouse down.
I always wondered what became of the ball that was in the... Oh, ballroom.
One of those that threw the lights all around?
Oh, wow.
No, no.
Hmm.
Well, no, that's got to be here. I'm probably looking right over it.
Oh, I'm looking with you, so.
We've been given the name of the man.
There it is.
The
one I was looking for you.
Oh, it's an old postcard from 1906.
It was one that was sent to my folks.
Oh, my boy. Well,
wonder,
we got home
this
all
must
right.
Be
sleepy and tired. Walter got a little lonesome Monday. But now he's all right. He says he don't care if this don't come. If this something don't come.
This looks like this might be Washington here, because that looks like the White
House. I've seen this
picture.
Mm-hmm. This is an old school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
And then the tracks must have gone back this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Oh, that's a friend of mine.
Oh, she looks real happy to be with you.
Robert Block, supervisor.
Yeah, he was one of my supervisors.
And Myrna Austin.
And she was a friend. She worked in my department.
Mm.
Here, I'll let you, you know, if you want to look at it, you can see it from the beginning.
Okay. I like that. Girls Club. That was wonderful. Here's another thing that says, Hello Rio Girls.
Yeah, we got one every time, every year, once a year we had
a little booklet
to
announce the activities.
Yes, and who was, you know, in charge and all that stuff.
Well, there's Doris's name.
Oh,
Doris
Starr. She's an organized little lady, isn't
she?
Oh,
yes, yeah.
She's nice. I get the feeling that she was very efficient because she seems to be very efficient now.
Yeah, she does a lot for the union.
Oh, here's the union.
See, that's my retirement book, the things that they did.
Oh, I see. So the union also participated in your, well, they announced it in the union newsletter.
Oh, this certifies that Mabel McQueen is a retired employee down in Rio.
Which meant that you were entitled to whatever benefits went along with that through the union.
This is where your union hall was, 1010 River Street.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that building.
Hmm.
I don't think the building's there anymore, but...
Isn't it?
I'm not sure.
I don't
there
know.
Are some businesses down that way now.
Yeah,
there's a big
down
firm
down.
And...
This is what the office looked like that you worked in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yes, I'm very interested in this.
The pantsuits that were popular then. Women started being able to wear pants to her.
It's nice.
She looks like she's eating a chicken wing.
Yeah, they had chicken.
Oh, I guessed it.
Yep, see, they had old, the different types of typewriters at the same time, because it was just starting with the electric.
Oh, gee, this really gives us a bird's eye view into the old offices. Oh, were there several different offices, or were there several combined in one big room?
It was a big room.
It looked like it, though.
Uh-huh.
With different sections.
Just different sections.
Uh-huh. Later years, why they put, you know, dividers up, but in the beginning there, it was all one, you know.
All the office workers in one big
room. Mm-hmm, but you had your own department in a certain section.
So how did you communicate with the boss? Were they all in offices around you, smaller?
No, they weren't in offices at first.
Oh, okay.
Later years, they divided them up and put them in their own.
Okay.
But in the beginning, they were just all in this big room.
Mm-hmm.
With you.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that got confusing with all the typewriters going and the phones ringing and...
Didn't seem to. I guess we...
It was nice to be all together.
Grew up with it.
That would be another thing that would have the togetherness feel, because you weren't shut away behind partitions.
This is my son and daughter-in-law.
And did you say that he also worked at Rio?
No.
Oh, that was your son-in-law, perhaps?
My son-in-law.
He must have worked there up close to the very end then.
Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh.
He had, I think, 25 years in.
Oh, he did? 25 years in. What did he do there, do you recall? Was he down on the
plant? He was in the plant.
He
took all these pictures for you.
Oh, different ones at the
car. The camera was just sort of around and people snapped?
Some were in the office, some were... See, they had my party down at the Cozy upstairs.
And these are the more formal.
There's the curtains that we saw. In the
Yeah,
these were the pictures that... This was my office back here. There's my machine.
Oh.
But they took most of the pictures because we had a big window here and then the drapes. And it was kind of an open deal. And so that's usually where they took the pictures. Irene Boynton, I don't know if you've talked to her.
No. That's a new name to me.
She's not here, so she's in different area.
Where were your offices in relationship to the shop? Were you along Washington?
Well, you know, the main building on Washington, right next to the clubhouse.
Next to the clubhouse.
Well, I was in that building, that main building. The original.
I see. Okay.
This is a much older picture.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell them the outfits.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. What's this a picture of here?
Let's see. That was the...
This looks like it's from the 50s.
Must be when she retired, because I retook her job when she...
And who is she?
Frances Sells. She's gone now, too.
Frances Sells.
That's not Hilda, is it?
No,
that's Myrna Austin.
Oh, okay. I was just going by the shape of the face and the eyebrows.
This is Bea Wecker.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the annual dinner.
Does she?
This is Norma Jean Maury. This girl, Arlene, I can't remember her last name. There's me back in there.
Just peeking through.
And Grace Spielby, it's Elsenheimer now.
Oh.
You probably met her at, have you been to the dinner that we have out at Coral Gables?
No,
we'll be there in August.
She usually,
she's a pretty lady.
And this lady, Kathleen DeWitt.
So you have this in here because you took her job?
Mm-hmm.
She was the... was this when you went into the bookkeeping?
Bookkeeping,
She must have started it quite...
Yeah.
Yeah, she was right out of high school. She started there.
In the 20s, probably.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
These are all just clippings from the end of the Rio.
Quiet giants.
I've got a few more that I...
Eaton tried, couldn't turn Rio around. Oh, now when did
he... was in it.
Was he? He was the vice president.
He looked so young.
Yeah, he was young.
Stanley Eaton.
No, we haven't heard of him. I haven't heard his name before.
No, I haven't either. Oh, you've got a lot of history of Rio in there. I'd love to Xerox some of those newspaper clippings. Would that be possible, Mrs. McLean?
Oh, sure.
Love some. We would just keep the Xeroxes and the records at the museum. I'm sure we don't have anything like that.
I wish I had more room to put more.
Sesquicentennial. There you go. Ex-owner of Rio and U.S. settled feud. Oh, here's Red O'Brien, Charles O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said that he's in a rest home now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I just heard. Attending a news conference Wednesday to announce an out-of-court settlement with a former owner of Diamond Rio Trucks.
So you see why I speak well of Rio?
Oh, yeah. It looks like you all had a nice group together.
When I retired, they did. They used to always say that they was going to have my retirement party at the Civic Center. Then no place else was big enough.
This was to settle the pension fund.
Oh, the disputes about the...
Former owner of the Diamond Rio Trucks and the U.S. government have settled a pension feud out of court, opening the door after 10 years for former Diamond Rio employees to settle their claims.
Oh, my.
And it goes on about Mr. Cappert.
Mm-hmm. Those are so wonderful. You got out right before all the problems started. You were very lucky.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people we've talked to have been very, were very disturbed and upset, by all the finagling that went on at the end. Did you think something like that was going to be happening?
Well, it didn't look good.
from where you could see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were always involved with the money, so.
I was eligible for retirement, so, you know, with my age and my points, so.
Oh, they build up a point system?
Mm-hmm.
How was that arrived
well,
at?
Well, your age plus your years of service.
Oh, I see.
So seniority and
age. Mm-hmm. You had to have so many points to retire, which I had.
Mm. Was that the company's plan or did the union devise that?
I think that was the company's. I think we had that right from the very start.
I see. Okay.
So you were able to retire and get your benefits before all the problems started.
Oh, and so then they became diminished when the company went under.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, because when I retired, I had my insurance was paid, life insurance and medical, Blue Cross, and you know, our pension, of course, got, but you know, and then I got that extra little deal that you get. I can't remember what they called it now.
Profit sharing?
Something. No, it wasn't profit sharing. I don't remember now.
Like the cost of living, maybe, or?
No.
Some other little fund.
It was a, well, then when you were a certain age, then that quit. And Social Security took on.
Oh,
or,
I see.
Or something. I can't remember what.
Something that took you through that gap of time.
Mm-hmm. But see, when they folded, then I lost all that.
You lost your insurance, your medical insurance, and you lost your retirement benefits, life insurance.
So now I get just a straight pension, and Blue Cross takes me from just about all that.
That's what we've heard from other folks, that what they get from what's left of their pension just about covers their insurance.
Yeah, that insurance is terrible.
Oh, it's
yeah, I heard that from my parents, too.
Sometimes I wonder, do I need all that? And yet
you don't dare be without it. So you were there during the last turbulent years when Rio was going from one ownership to another ownership.
Yeah.
How was that for you girls in the office?
Well, it was hard, because you never knew from one month to the next if you had a job.
Oh,
you know,
you're concerned that you might
lose. If somebody else bought, like when White Motors bought it, and you know, you didn't know if they were going to bring all their own people or if, you know, what would happen or if they'd move everything to, you know, their
Chicago or someplace.
Yeah.
So you went through several changes.
Yeah.
Diamond Rio, white first, I guess.
Yeah, white.
I get confused about which order.
I can't either.
At any rate, two or three different changes in a short period of time. What did you think of Mr. Cappert when he came and took over?
I didn't get too much of him.
Was he
Mildred either, you know? I mean, they come in there and started cracking the old whip and letting this one go and that one go and firing them right and left for no reason at all.
Just to cut the payroll, do you think?
And that and break the union.
Oh.
Oh, they wanted to break the union.
In fact, they said that.
Oh, they did.
The union that you were in or the one in the plant?
Well, the plant. I can't remember if we had our union when they came in or not. I can't remember what year we that something happens to you up here.
Oh, I know. I'm forgetting.
You've been talking to any of the rest of people.
It's getting terrible. Mm. I bought a book on how to improve your memory, but I can't find it.
Well, that helped a lot. Yeah.
So you see how bad things are?
Yeah, I know it. I did. Terrible.
But they were hostile to unions, regardless of whether it was in the office or in the
I think that they just, you know, I really don't know what they
Well, they probably couldn't have had as much control as they wanted over things if the union also had control and they were had to abide by what the union said was going to happen. I wonder if they were successful in breaking the union. Maybe they weren't.
I don't know. I always wondered, you know, when they had when our last contract came up, I shouldn't say this in front of everybody.
Do you want this
out? Yeah, let's just say it.
Yeah. You were talking about the military contracts?
Yeah, when we got the military contracts, of course, that carried us through. Mm-hmm. So they did.
When did the military contracts start to come back after World War II? I mean, obviously it was a lot.
I don't know. I can't.
Probably Korea.
Were they already from the beginning when you started in 53?
No.
Okay. But sometime after.
After, uh-huh.
See, because Korea was 50.
Was it?
50 and 50, till through to 52.
Yeah. And she started
I don't recall of it anyway, because I...
Of course, the military would keep a contract. They would want to keep...
Yeah, they had to keep something.
They had to keep building their supply of trucks.
And Rio did get a lot of their contracts. So, you know, that was basically, I think, what kept Rio
going
on top. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And finally, when those ran out, that really helped to signal the end, too, didn't it? Money wasn't coming in.
Did you deal a lot with the military, the payment to the military and the things in your dealing with bookkeeping and billing and
well,
export?
To a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. So you knew that some of the materials you were working with were connected to the military production.
Mm-hmm.
It was all included in
that. Yeah, because see, I did the statements that went out to the different dealers, and you know,
and they were all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
They were all over, mm-hmm. and also military mm-hmm. installations.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't done in a separate place. It was all mm-hmm. part of the regular billing for the mm-hmm. company that did that.
Well, each department had their own. You know, they had their military
section.
Section.
Oh, I see. That's how they did it. So each section.
But see, I ran the statements that went out for.
The billing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got all the invoices in.
I see. And so some of them would go to military installations
mm-hmm.
who would get trucks or other
mm-hmm.
types of
mm-hmm.
material. And some of it would go to private dealers
mm-hmm.
or other
mm-hmm.
people who needed parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, private
mm-hmm.
citizens.
Yeah, there was parts and trucks.
Right. So it was both
mm-hmm.
that you dealt with.
Domestic parts and foreign parts and
mm-hmm.
foreign trucks.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've heard a lot about the different countries. And, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Ed Rankin who said he went to Iraq or something.
Iran,
some of those
I think
places.
It was.
And,
mm-hmm.
and somebody went
sick
to
and
Pakistan.
To
you know, they were all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Tracking down these trucks and what they needed. And
mm-hmm.
Being in the position you were in there, you really saw all of the business that Rio had. I mean, that Rio was doing. You were really in the know on what was going on. Probably a lot more
to
than that people.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the bills come in and the statements mm-hmm. go out.
Mm-hmm.
I've often heard that a secretary knows more about a business than the boss does.
There's no question about it.
that's true.
There's
you
no
know,
question
because,
about it.
In fact, they run the place practically. You know.
Absolutely.
I can see where...
But it was an interesting job. I really enjoyed my work.
Uh-huh.
I would
think
it kind of got hectic at times, but...
It wasn't. It didn't become routine, though. Sometimes it did.
You mean boring?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or
no.
Just like doing the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, over and over and over again.
No, not to me it wasn't. It was, I mean, of course there were the separate accounts, you know, like you had to keep all the trucks and separate and the parts and the miscellaneous and, you know, all the other stuff that's...
The person that we talked to last week was one of the industrial engineers who was involved
Mr. Chamberlain?
Mr. Chamberlain. I don't know if you may not have known him. He was involved in the time and motion studies, the work studies about...
What was his first name?
Calvin.
Oh, yeah, Cal.
Right. Did he and his department, you know, they were involved in making the work go faster and better and smoother and more efficient. Did they do any of that kind of study for the office workers, or was it just in the plant?
I don't know.
Nobody
ever came like that with you.
Not that I know of. If they did it was, you know,
other people. Okay.
Be a little difficult, wouldn't it, to be a time study on?
It's been done though.
Has it really?
Yeah, and it's being done a lot more now with word processors.
Oh, I was of course, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I was just curious since.
Yeah.
You know, you worked all the way up to 75, and there was already electric. There were some more electric typewriters and fancy
IBM
machines
while I was there.
Did
right.
it?
That's right. Did they have, what are those called?
Key punch.
Did they have that too? But you didn't work on those.
No, no, no.
But those coupon operators, they had to do a certain amount per minute, hour.
Yes, so many cards per hour.
Right.
Is Keypunch anything like Comptometer?
Comptometer is an old business machine.
Okay.
Accounting, bookkeeping machine.
Forerunner of Keypunch cards?
Yeah. Oh, it's from the 1920s, Comptometer operators.
But I know even through the 30s and 40s, I would hear people going to Comptometer school.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think
mm-hmm.
there used to be a school in the Michigan Arcade upstairs.
Yeah, that's an old-fashioned
yeah,
machine.
Yeah, that was something. I never... learned to run, not efficiently.
No. But the things you worked on were already much more advanced than comptometers anyway, so, because those were like just, old-fashioned types of calculator type machines.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
They weren't any kind of a key punch card? Okay.
No.
I've always been curious about that.
No, but I was wondering, since it did get more, the technology started to come in already by the 60s. I was curious if they did any of that kind of efficiency work in the office at all.
See, when I first started there, we did the billing, by typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
First we had just plain old...
Right, we stuck it in the machine and did it.
And manual.
Right.
Well, then we got electric typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
Before that was something.
Sure is.
Yeah, you just touch the thing and you zip there. Was
very, very light touch.
Uh-huh, but used to, your fingers would get... I remember when I first went to work, my fingers would get so sore on the ends from typing on the manual.
Yeah.
And, you put out a lot of...
It's a lot of energy.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Especially when you were... And my wrists would get so sore. Of course, once you get into it, then they get tough. And then after that, then we got billing machines, which was, much easier too, because it did all the adding and everything on everything.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when I went into, I was in receivables at that time, and when I went onto the bookkeeping machine, I had an old, I can't remember if it was 77 or a 78 Burroughs. That I started on, which had a big long carriage, and I think there were 18 registers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to get them each one. That was interesting.
You had to line them up or something?
Well, you could set it up in an automatic, like by punching certain keys, it would go to the register and print the amount that should go in that. So it did the billing and did for the statements. And then it broke down in the different categories, different accounts that it was charged to.
Oh.
Certain parts would be, maybe there'd be two or three different accounts that it would be charged to, like miscellaneous or whatever.
Did those machines ever screw up and put them on?
Well, not unless you did it.
Oh. I was just wondering, because computer, of course, there again, it's human error.
Oh, the machine would sometimes break down or act up, maybe it wouldn't stay where it was supposed to, and then you'd have to call a repairman. But ordinarily, they worked pretty good, as long as the operator...
Those are like the machines that I used to work when I was a teller in a bank, because they're the same things. You put the bank book. Remember, people used to walk around with their bank books. I kept the track of what their savings account had, and you put it in, and it would go, enter all the different things and the interest and everything, and make a total at the bottom, and put the date on it, and so it was the same.
You have to balance across,
right,
and have to balance down.
That's
and
right.
That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest problem was transposition.
What's that?
Transposition of figures, instead of 449, I'd put 494. So
okay. Transcribing, you might make a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was one of my...
one of the things that you had to watch out for.
Uh-huh. I just did it. I still do it. It's one of those things. But usually it was divisible by 9, I think it was.
The figures. Totals?
Uh-huh.
So you could check that.
Uh-huh. I mean, that was one of the first things you checked.
Mm-hmm.
I did, because that was my thing, I guess you'd call it today.
And how would you find it if you made a mistake? Would the customer come back and say,
no,
hey,
no,
or just wouldn't balance.
Your sheet wouldn't
balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The down totals wouldn't match the over totals,
right.
The totals across. And then you knew they had a problem.
And then when did the next sort of generation of technology come in after that, Burroughs machine?
Well, that's when I worked on that last.
Oh, that big machine, the big billing machine.
Sensomatic.
Mm-hmm. That was more like a computer, really, right?
Well, I guess. I don't really understand the computers.
Oh.
But it was a lot simpler. It was easier. You know what I mean? It wasn't very hard to. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just did it.
You just punched it in.
When you went from one machine to a newer machine, did someone come in and train you on the new machine?
Mm-hmm.
Someone from a company that made the machine? Did Rio ever send you to take any courses, any kind of office courses to help you in your job? Because we've talked to a few that have been sent
mostly
out for specific
supervisory people.
But I didn't know whether they also might send some of the secretarial people to learn new procedures or...
I don't know about secretaries, but as far as I know, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I
suppose maybe comp operators or, you know, back when they had them, they might have sent them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All mine was on the job training.
On the job. Sometimes that's the best way.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't really have to deal with kind of public... in your job, receptionist or phones or any of that kind of stuff?
No. I had my own phone.
You had your own
but
phone.
But not to the outside.
Uh-huh. Did you ever think that there was any ways you could, you know, move up to management types of positions outside of clerical?
I had no desire,
you didn't want
really.
To?
No, I can't even because I'd moved up from when it started.
Right.
No, right up
right.
To
from a typist.
Top bookkeeper.
Yeah. Right. And that was a pretty high level office job within the group in the group there.
I'm thinking you must have been pretty good with figures though, because you had high school bookkeeping courses, and to go from that into being able to do this high level bookkeeping, I'm thinking you must have not only got good instruction in high school, but you must have been pretty good with numbers and liked to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I
like that. You must have been probably got good grades in that in high school.
Yeah, I did. That was my,
That was what you liked to do.
Because most people now have to go, say, get an associate degree or something.
My mother had to go to business college.
Mm-hmm.
Which she took bookkeeping in business college.
Well, of course, you know, if I had done that, of course, you know, by getting into really, I mean, I kind of graduated with the workload, you know. I mean,
you learned it as a change.
From doing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Where if I went right into bookkeeping, like, I probably would have had to have some training, you know, outside.
Right from the start, yeah.
But I had the basics of bookkeeping from school.
So you had the foundation to
mm-hmm.
learn the other stuff.
Because I took all the courses of typing and bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm. This big room that you mentioned that had all the different departments in, would personnel be maybe at one end of the room and what you did maybe?
Well, no, personnel was over on Baker Street.
Oh, it was in a separate building.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I just wondered if they had everything clerical all along in that main building.
Yeah,
Washington.
Well, mostly, see, on the side I was on, in this building, this main building. You see, there was receivables, the payables, and of course, I worked on the second floor.
Oh.
And then on the first floor, they had purchasing. You know, they were kind of, you know, everybody was in one big room, but still we were divided in our own
departments. Were there two floors to that building, or three?
Three floors.
Three floors. What was up on third? More offices, more
What was up there? Military was up there for one.
Oh, I see.
And I think March worked up on third floor.
We'll have to ask her.
I'm sure she worked up on third.
Okay.
I know military, and export parts was up,
okay.
up there.
Did you besides for the girls club meetings and activities, did you go over to the clubhouse very much? Rio Clubhouse? Was there a lot of activities going on there?
The charity ball.
No.
That was the highlight of the year.
Oh, it was. Uh-huh. What time was it held? Always at, say, at Christmas time or something?
Before Christmas. Before Christmas.
Was that a fancy dress formal ball?
If you wanted. Usually everybody.
Everybody invited? The whole plan? Really? Mm-hmm. And they sold tickets for charity?
Mm-hmm.
Where did the charities go to? Do you know?
Well, like the Christmas basket.
Oh, I see. The company did.
In-house kind of things.
Yeah, and their families, you know, that worked there that had, you know, tough times or illness or, you know,
to help our own people. I see.
Mm-hmm. There again, it's the family thing. Yeah. The family helps the members.
Oh, well, that charity ball was, you know, was with big ballroom dancing and...
And had band.
You know, it had prizes.
Mm-hmm. How many people would go?
Oh, God.
Hundreds?
That place would be packed.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't heard about that.
I am, too. Because that was the big thing. Everybody looked forward to the charity ball.
Uh-huh. Do you know how long it had been going on when you got there? Was it something new, or had it been going on a long time?
I don't remember.
Had it been going on for a while?
Oh, we'll have to ask.
We'll have to ask, talking
to folks that have been there in the 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
Did you go to the picnics? Because I know they used to have company picnics, too.
I can't remember if I ever went to the picnics or not.
Okay.
But you're saying the charity ball, people from all over the plant and the office. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
Get a big representation across.
Yeah, the place was always full.
My mother worked in there too, but I never heard her mention the charity ball. She worked out in the plant.
It was one of those bring your own booze or whatever you wanted to drink.
Oh, huh.
They had the big, you know, table set up for people to sit at.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have food too? And
I think just what you took for your.
You kind of brought your own snacks.
I think that's the way we did it. But I know if you brought whatever you know, whatever you wanted to drink, and I think they had the mix there.
Oh, I see.
You know, so they made a little profit on mix, and they may have had, you know, like chips and stuff like that.
But it wasn't a dinner day.
No, huh? No.
Buffet kind of thing at the end of the evening, or okay. Well, of course, that would have cut down on what.
It was strictly you know how the Red Stocking Dance used to be.
I remember the Red Stocking Dance, but I don't
know. It was just about the same.
Same stuff kind of thing.
Not quite as formal.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But if you wanted to go formal, which, you know, not always did.
You got all dressed up.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think I've got the last formal that I wore. I don't know why I keep it.
Well, sentimental reasons.
It's a nice dress.
It's a good reason to keep it. You never know.
I probably couldn't even get into it anymore, but anyway. Well, what do you do with it otherwise?
You keep them in the closet once in a while, you look at them.
Yeah, remember. Yeah, it was a big family deal, you know. You invited your family. I know my kids used to go.
Oh, you mentioned a son. You had other children besides your son?
I have two stepdaughters.
Oh, and two stepdaughters. Okay.
Yeah, their kids used to go. They just loved it. One of the girls, and she wasn't old enough to go. You know, when they closed down, and she was so mad, she never got to go.
Oh, she never got a chance.
Because that was quite a place, a civic center of its day, sort of.
Really?
That was a shame that they let that place go down. That should have been kept for historical.
I agree with you. That would be the perfect place for the Orioles Transportation Museum. What better place than right there on the grounds of the Rio? As a matter of fact, the people that started the museum tried to get that building.
Did they?
And the city owned it, and they just
kept throwing up roadblocks, and finally they said that then if the people wanted it, they'd have to do all this remodeling, and they'd have to bring it up to code for handicap accessible, which is, of course, understandable, but that wouldn't have cost that much. It would just have required some ramps and that kind of thing, because they would have only used the main floor. But they just kept throwing it. It was as if they didn't want them to have it. They just kept throwing up roadblocks. And finally, it got to be so expensive by the time they added this and this and this, that the people just, you know, they said, well, we just haven't got that kind of money, you know. We're just a group of individuals, and we're trying to start a museum to honor Lansing-built transportation.
I know. It's a dirty shame that wasn't.
We talked to someone along the road. It's not someone we've interviewed yet, but it's a
comment. The man who has all the memorabilia?
Well, no, what I was thinking of is somebody who said that, maybe it was someone we interviewed, that the day that the final day when the place closed down, that they hadn't known it was going to close. They knew it was going to come sometime, but they didn't know when. She went to work in front of the building where you worked, obviously, and the doors were padlocked, and she was really nonplussed, and she thought, well, they'll open tomorrow, so she went back the next day, and then she didn't know it until she read it in the paper.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember who it was.
I do remember
the story.
But they hadn't come to the office, the people that owned it, or sent down any kind of a directive or a bulletin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that they didn't know.
Because you were still in touch with all your friends. Mm-hmm. You were still probably many of them working there.
Yeah, they padlocked it, so.
Without ever sending a letter or coming around and saying, Friday's your last day.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that strange? Just kind of indicates the kind of people that were running it at the last of them. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bowles, I think, said to us the other day that he just cried. A lot of people really had difficulty with it.
Yeah, I know my supervisor. When they let him go, he just, of course, you know, they let some other ones go, and then when Bob come out and he walked by my desk and he said, bye, Mabel. And I knew then, you know, I just almost cried myself, because he used to say when we, you know, he said, Mabel says, they just can hang on just a few more years. He says, we'll have it made. He says, we'll get our pensions. And then it happened to him. He just went downhill. Well, that's what took him, I think.
He didn't have a lot to live for. So many of the men who were supervisors or in, you know, management positions were in their 50s. Such a difficult time to try to find something new, you know, at that point.
I know what it was. Well, my son-in-law, when he had a hard time finding a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in his 40s then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was out of work all the time. Well, finally he got in at a Lansing Drop Forge. In fact, he just retired from there in February.
Those drop forges haven't been doing too well either.
It used to be several years ago when all the drop forges were going in the Atlas. You could hear those big hammers going, and it was just part of your life to hear those going all night long. Mm-hmm. And during the day, you didn't hear them as much, of course. But
with all the other noise.
But at night, you could always hear them, especially on the summer nights, because you had your windows open.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
Just part of Lansing. You mentioned the fire. We have an opportunity, I hope it's still there, to get photographs of a private citizen who took photographs of the fire.
Oh, do you? Well, I'd like to get, you know, to put in my book, to complete it.
I have to get in touch with her and see if she's still willing to let me take them. She couldn't find the negatives, and I've been stalling, hoping she'd find the negatives, because she moved from one place to another, and things were packed away. You know how it is when you move.
Oh, yeah.
And she just didn't know where they were. She thought she knew, but when she went through everything, they weren't there, but she's got the photographs. So I think I better call her and see. And if I'm successful in getting the photographs, then we'll have to have negatives made and prints from that. But if I'm successful, I'll see what you get.
Okay. Painful.
Oh, well.
a print wouldn't cost that much.
Well, I know,
because I
but
want to have,
you have to do very many. I mean, if you do very many. I'd like to have one for you.
I'll trade a photograph for you for the chance to Xerox some of your Rio newspaper articles.
Okay.
That would be really wonderful for the museum to have those in their archives.
Okay. Yeah, because it's hard to find, you know, the only other way to find them is to flip through day after day, because the Lane 68 mm-hmm. Journal's not indexed or anything, so you can't just look them up. It's hard to find them.
Oh, really? I've never tried
to work.
In fact, I wondered, what is everything on microfiche down to State Journal?
It is, but there's no index.
Oh, my goodness. You just go through date by
date.
Yeah,
and if you're interested in an event like the fire, obviously you look at that particular date. But the Rio, its changes and its demise was a long-term process. I mean, there's one day, obviously, it was closed, but if you want to find out about Cabot coming in and this one coming in, you really have to almost look at years worth to get all the information from the journals. So, but if somebody's already cut them out, makes you have your work, you know, already done. So that's very good. The only newspaper that's indexed in any really good way is the New York Times, which would probably have a little bit about it when the Rio closed, maybe, or something, but it wouldn't have all the specifics that the Lansing mm-hmm. State Journal would have on.
I would think they would have been, you know, on the stock exchange or something, so there'd be
right.
some notation.
Yeah, there would be some indication. Probably.
They wouldn't have been very high on the exchange, I wouldn't think, the last 10 years.
No, and the article might be this big, you know, and it wouldn't have very mm-hmm. in-depth information.
No.
But still. So this is great. That's really very helpful to have it. I just have a couple of more questions. Since I'm a historian, I'm very interested in, you know, for particularly with people like you who worked at the same places for a long time, 22 years, what your feelings are about how things changed over time, because that's really all historians are interested in, is how things changed over time. So just, you know, how your feelings about, you know, what the working at the Rio was like when you started in 1953 to when you ended in 75, what you think the biggest differences were in, you know, the working conditions or the company itself and the philosophy or people, you know, anything that you think is important about what changed.
I don't know.
Most people don't think in those terms, but that's all the way a historian's only thing.
I mean, it just was so gradual, seemed like, and
mm-hmm.
of course in the position I was in, it was just
the technology is
uh-huh.
changing.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the young people coming in.
Yeah.
Did that change a lot of the atmosphere?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their attitudes were different.
Mm-hmm. And that was through the 60s? You think that started a lot, or was it happening the whole time?
No, just in later
years. The later years? Yeah. Other people have mentioned because of the government contracts, the affirmative action hirings changed things.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That the kinds of people that were hired maybe weren't as high quality or weren't necessarily committed to the company,
you know,
didn't care as much.
To get their, which I get, we was all there to get our paycheck, but you still, you know, you had a job to do and you felt you owed, you know, owed the company
a fair day
mm-hmm.
to work.
Mm-hmm.
That was for that, other people too.
And we had a lot of privileges, you know, I mean, I just can't complain. I guess I was fortunate.
Well, no, we haven't heard many complaints from people.
Actually, we haven't.
Not many.
Yeah. We've heard people say they were proud of what the product that was turned out, that they
mm-hmm.
were part of it,
mm-hmm.
and they were the fellowship and the feeling of being part of something that was ongoing through the years. And
how about the area, like the Lansing community, during the time that you lived there, 1950? You know, when you were living and working at Rio between 53 and 75, were you living in Lansing the whole time that you worked at the Rio? Did you move?
Yeah, I lived in Lansing.
In the city?
Except for...
When you went to Florida?
Let's see, in 1960, well, no, I went to Florida
before
I went. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I lived in town there from 53 to 60.
Oh,
then
okay.
I moved over here on St. Joe.
I used to live there
on the east side, and then I moved out on the west side to Durant Street.
Mm-hmm.
And lived there until we moved out here in 60.
Okay. So,
things have changed.
Yeah. the community of Lansing itself has changed a lot.
Well, even out here, St. Joe, when we moved out there, there wasn't anything out. There were three houses, I think, in that subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Joe was just a little two-way street.
It was a two-way
street. Grimes Road was all, in fact, they had a murder over there while I lived there.
Oh, my goodness.
Things have really totally changed.
Uh-huh. And now look at it. It has all built up and I didn't really want to move out there in the first place because it was way out in the country.
Way out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Waverly Road, from Waverly Road West, it was country.
Mm-hmm.
Right up until...
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, through the 50s anyway.
See, when I first started school, we lived there just, it would be just the first farm west of Waverly on Delta River.
Mm-hmm.
And now the house's gone, the barn's gone, the silo's gone
too.
And, but I can remember that farm.
Right there on the corner of Delta River and Waverly?
Uh-huh.
Yes. It hasn't been too many years since they took that house and barn and everything.
Uh-huh.
It was just there one day and gone.
I know it. Uh-huh.
That was a beautiful farm.
Uh-huh.
What was your maiden name?
Shreve.
S-H-R-E-V-E.
I'd like to ask about the clubhouse just one more time, and also about the office that you worked in. The buildings were very old. Were they deteriorating?
Well,
you know, like, did you feel like, gosh, these buildings are so old, these offices are so old? Or?
Of course, they kept them up,
did
you
they?
Know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we, you know, had all windows, so really we had very little
wall space
for anything.
I've heard reports before that the floors in some parts of the complex were, you know, getting weak and had to be, shored
mm-hmm.
up, and that they didn't put much money back into the building and that it was deteriorating.
Well, that's true.
Some parts were worse than others.
It looked like you had, from the pictures, pretty up-to-date office equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Your desks
mm-hmm.
looked like they were up-to-date
mm-hmm.
and all of that looked pretty, for the time. Now it looks a little old-fashioned to
mm-hmm.
us, but I know from the
mm-hmm.
time that was... Actually, I know that it was up-to-date then, because that's what we still have at stake from 1975.
Mm-hmm.
So, it looked, you know, for the
mm-hmm.
yeah,
time
period, it was
mm-hmm.
good stuff. It seemed like it was adequate.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to ask one more thing about the
clubhouse? Well, just thinking about the clubhouse itself and along the same lines, you know, up toward the last, was it beginning to look shabby or...
The clubhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, the clubhouse was going downhill. It was. It leaked a lot, you know. That
rough leaked?
That porch, you know.
The front face washroom?
Uh-huh.
That was
that
what?
Got, you know, the roof would leak on that, and then, of course, it ruined the inside of it. But it was deteriorating.
Interesting.
The clubhouse was so, there's so many good memories. I mean, you know, we all, you know, anybody that worked there could have, like, weddings and receptions, and my son's reception was there.
It didn't cost you anything to rent the hall, so to speak.
All you had to pay for was the fellow that did the clean-up, which wasn't...
$25 service to have for your employees.
Because
it must have been a very impressive place
mm-hmm.
to hold something like
well,
that.
Well, see,
too.
They used to have, you probably have heard, where they used to have the real shows there.
Oh, yes.
See, when I was a kid, going to school, we'd go Friday afternoon. You know, everybody, all the kids could go on Friday afternoon to the matinee. But at night, you had to have parents that worked there, so you had
a little ticket
or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
I wish I could just see that sight of all those kids at the matinee. That must have been really
well,
something.
Well, you know, a lot of us would never got to go to show movies.
Otherwise, yeah.
And then as soon as we get out of school, we'd all just hike. Sometimes we'd walk all the way. And then sometimes we'd have rides, you know,
from the Miller Road area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Come
into
town. It's a picture show. And also live shows, too.
Mm-hmm.
They had entertainment shows, too.
Well, they had a lot for the employees that went on back then, you know, because that was before I worked there.
Oh, sure.
But I know one of my friends that went to school before I did. Her dad worked at Rio, and they always would go to all that stuff. Of course, they invite me once in a while to go. Friends. They had five youngsters, so it wasn't very often I got to go. They did their own. They don't want somebody else.
We've heard from people who snuck in, too, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
People would sneak in, and the guards, I guess, would look the other way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's
always been a family, you know, place.
Sometime, and I don't know where we've got the man's name, but the man who managed the clubhouse.
Yeah, we're going to have to find
him. We're going to have, pardon me?
Vern Haight.
Yes, Vern Haight, that's it.
That's right.
That's right. And we hope to get to talk to him.
Williamston, I think.
Right.
Williamston or Weberville.
Right.
Yeah.
You could get a lot of dope from him.
But maybe, what I was thinking is he might, yeah, true. And I was thinking he might also have some insight into what happened to some of those art, you know, like the ball and the chandelier and some of those things.
You might find some of it out there.
Out there, exactly.
You heard that, huh?
I figured it was coming to him.
Well, if it was going to be trashed.
Why not?
Which sometimes happens. For instance, the Women's Clubhouse, that REOs donated the land and the money for the building downtown. When they tore that down, or didn't tear it down, when they gutted it out to make the office complex, well, 2 years ago, things in there, chandeliers and pants, just
there's
out
still,
into the dump.
We were just in there, Peter and I.
Were you?
Because we went in there to do our mortgage.
Oh.
And there's a big plaque. The donation plaque, from, you know, that says this has been donated, this building's been donated by Ransom E. Olds, da 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 da, and there's a little saying and stuff.
Mm.
And I asked the guy, I said, what are you guys going to do? Because it's just laying on the floor.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Propped up against the wall. And I, you know, I said, what are you guys going to do with it? Oh, I don't know. You know, as if it
there
was
you go.
Nothing.
Gee, I wish they'd donate that to the museum.
They should do even downtown to the State of Michigan Library Museum.
Someplace where people are going to see this.
Because as a historian, when I see something like that, it just makes me sick.
Mm-hmm. Me too, and that's what made me sick when I heard. Well, for one thing, of course, the clubhouse being torn down. We have two chairs from the clubhouse at the museum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A little church, Pentecostal church, like on South Cedar. Apparently at some time, maybe when the clubhouse was being dismantled, I don't know. Obviously, we see the old fold-up wooden chairs, you know, that were
mm-hmm,
in.
Mm-hmm.
And probably had them for years, and then maybe eventually had enough money to... Anyway, they called us, and they said, we've got these two chairs that are stamped on the bottom, property of Rio Clubhouse. Would you like them? Yes. So that's the only thing. And visitors come in and they all mention the clubhouse, and it's as if their childhood home had been torn down and they couldn't go back.
You don't think the fact that you had such nice memories of the clubhouse as a child made any difference when you were trying to find a place to work later on?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, you know.
It was long.
Mm-hmm.
It was ancient history.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I have anything further. Thank you very much.
Just a minute. I think I got some...